that will save our souls and help us to live for the Lord? 3, do you have people in your life you can turn to when you need help understanding the right way to go? Who are they? Proverbs 9, beginning in verse 1, this is the word of God. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her 7 pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. There ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for your word, and your word is so rich with wisdom, wisdom to life, wisdom for life, and we thank you so much for it. Thank you for this book of Proverbs, and we ask that as we explore this text together tonight, you would give us insight and wisdom, and that we would take what you teach us and apply it to our lives. Lord, we hear the voice of wisdom calling. We know it's the voice of you, our Lord, and we pray that you would give us ears to hear and receive tonight. Please help the preacher by sending your Holy Spirit in a special way, and all of us will hear, that we would hear well and receive from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, anyone who has the opportunity to hear the voice of wisdom, the voice of God calling out, should consider it a blessing. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be squandered. We dare not harden our hearts against the voice of God. Some listen. Sadly, some stop up their ears. Some harden their hearts. Tonight, we hear the voice of wisdom. We hear the voice of God coming from the house of wisdom. This house, as we read in the first couple verses, is often depicted as a palace or a queen's house. And she has her maidens or her damsels going out from the house and offering the goods of the household. Come in and enjoy. Come into the household of wisdom and enjoy. You immediately recognize a contrast, a sharp contrast, from the voice of the adulteress from before or the other sensuous woman calling out. This is a clean voice, an open call. There is nothing hidden in the agenda. There's nothing crass. It's not sensuality, but it's true spirituality, you might say. There's no temptation, no harshness, no harassment, no badgering. It's an invitation to something good. An invitation to something good. It parallels, really, doesn't it, Jesus' parable of the wedding feast. If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, you hear something very similar in the voice of Christ. And we have heard already in the parables that we're actually hearing the voice of Christ in the gospel. Here, Matthew 22, beginning in verse 1. Again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants were sent out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. We'll just stop there, but you see that beautiful invitation to come and to feast on the good things of the Lord. Well, this household of wisdom, this household of this Queen Wisdom and her maidens is a safe and sound place, a sound foundation. It's not a lair. It's a very open structure, very inviting. And coming from there is this sincere welcome. Sincere welcome for hospitality. We all know that there's a big difference between needing to house somebody out of obligation or what it means to entertain someone, which is different than hospitality. But this is real hospitality. Come in, sit down, enjoy, feast on these good things. This sincere welcome. The principles of this household are founded upon Scripture. They're solid and secure. And so it's an invitation to come to this well-founded household that actually is founded on the Word of God. These seven pillars, it's not exactly sure what they are. Some say, you know, seven is perfection. Some say seven is strength. A number of different things. There's all kinds of things we can do with a seven. But it simply seems that this is a strong structure, and these pillars are out on the porch, and it's an open, welcoming place. You can almost picture in your mind, I know I have in my mind, what this would look like, what a place would look like to me where I wanted to go in, where it was just a sweet and lovely place, almost kind of reflecting heaven. That's kind of what we find here, and it's a solid, safe place. Reminds me of Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." Or Psalm 19:7-11, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." This is what she's inviting us to, and this is what her messengers, her maidens, are inviting us to. And she's spreading this feast. It's almost a sacramental sense here of this feast, because it's like there's this sacrifice, this sacrifice of what's being prepared in this meal, and we're invited to come. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. These are good things to feast upon. All good things. Things that feed the soul. Things that satisfy our spiritual thirst. Things that are all good. It's all good. I had to change the names to protect the innocent, but if you were to go out here and go up the road to Silver Corral, or a little closer, Grand Thing Buffet, you'll go in there and you'll look at the buffet and you'll see there's some very healthy stuff. Then there's an awful lot of empty calories. And then there are things that, very frankly, will kill you, maybe not immediately, but in time. And not so with this feast, not so with this buffet. It's a buffet of Scripture. It's a buffet of all good things. All of Scripture is good and satisfying for the soul. And it's wisdom here setting this table. That wisdom that's woven throughout Scripture from beginning to end. From the beginning of creation, God speaking his wisdom, speaking creation through his wisdom. And then throughout history and all the different ways that we learn from God's word, those are all the good things, the stories, this whole history of redemption, even end things tell us about the wisdom of God. At the heart of the wisdom of God is the gospel. It's at the heart of the wisdom of God. Wisdom of God for the salvation of sinners like us is expressed in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel, and that's ultimately what we hear. That's what we need to hear. We need to hear the voice of truth to come in and partake of it and feast on it. It's such a sweet offer, isn't it? It's the winsomeness of the gospel. There is the hard part of the gospel, isn't it? The hard part of the gospel is you are a sinner, and outside of Christ, you are condemned. Repent and believe. That's hard for us to hear that we're sinners. In fact, the Proverbs, even here, it's a call to the simple ones. You simple ones, come and get sense. But there's the sweetness of the gospel too. Come in and be satisfied. Come be filled. Come be at peace. Come recline with the Lord. In fact, this is the only place that you'll find satisfaction for your soul. It's the only place that you'll be safe and you'll be at peace, is to respond to that gospel, to come in and be satisfied. Hear the voice of Jesus telling you he is the manna from heaven. He is the bread that will feed your soul, the bread of life. He is the living water that will satisfy you. He's the wine of life, to stay in line with what's being said here in this proverb. Hear the voice of Jesus. In this proverb, we see that there are passers-by. Passers-by, simple, again, needing sense. Basically, every one of us by nature, simple, needing sense, needing spiritual sense. And sadly, there are obstinate fools who walk by this house and purposely plug their ears, ignoring these sweet invitations. And tragically, they're doing far more than just turning down kindness. Doing far more than just turning down a kind offer. They are denying, they're pushing away, they're ignoring the only household, the only food, the only feast that can save their lives. The only thing that can revive them from their dead spiritual state, foolishly passing by. It's like passing by a household filled with the very best food that would invigorate your body, that would energize your mind. You walk past that, the fruit and the vegetables and the good meat and all those good things, the good grains, and you walk right past and you decide that you are going to just feast yourself on fair food. The thing about the worldly fair food, it's vanity fair. It's vanity fair, and it will do no good. And yet they're completely responsible, culpable for plugging their ears and walking by, especially guilty if they have been privileged to be exposed to the truth of God regularly and regularly harden their hearts. It's so hard, isn't it? We get frustrated with those who reject the gospel because they don't listen. We get frustrated. We get frustrated because we're not trying to make a point. We're not trying to prove our point. We're not trying to be right. We're not trying to win an argument. We're concerned for souls. And we know that their rejection of this kind of truth is to their own demise. Verse 12, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. It will be to your destruction. Now we have to remember, don't we? When we get frustrated and we want to say, be honest, you want to say, you idiot, you fool, how can you not see this? We have to remember that it's only by the grace of God that we see what we see. That we see what we see. But nonetheless, it's frustrating, it's heartbreaking, because we know that their rejection is to their own demise. And yet there are open hearts as well, aren't there? There's those who are receptive. to the goodness of the message. The Spirit has sparked in them a hunger, and they hear the message of salvation, and they eat the manna of heaven. Hopefully you can say that for yourself tonight. I trust you can, that you can say, I, by the grace of God, have been given this hunger to eat the bread of Christ and live. The Spirit sparked my hunger, and the Spirit continues to spark my hunger more and more to feast on the good things of God. If you started to lose your appetite for the things of God, you need to pray. I have a friend who prays, who had prayed at one point because he read, I don't know if it was Psalm 63 or Psalm 42, but about thirsting for the Lord, and he didn't have the thirst, and he prayed that he would actually be thirsty so that he would come and drink from the wells of God's riches. If you've lost your appetite for the things of God and you're a believer, pray that God would give you a hunger, that you would seek to fill that hunger, to satisfy that hunger in His Word. There is an interesting parallel to what we're reading here in Proverbs, and the difference between those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and those who reject the things of God. In Psalm 36, if you'll turn there, I'd like to read it. Psalm 36, transgression speaks to the wicked. Deep in his heart, there is no fear of God. Before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. That's the fool. Then there's the steadfast love. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. Now listen to the voice of the one who loves the things of the Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright of heart. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the evildoers lie fallen, they are thrust down, unable to rise. There's the psalmist satisfied with the things of God and wanting to be satisfied more and more, and meditating on the goodness of God and his faithfulness and all those sweet things. But we need to go, don't we, where wisdom lives. Again, if we're in Christ, we know the wisdom of salvation, and we need to keep going back for more wisdom again and again and again. Keep going back to the household of wisdom to feed our souls. Be a spiritual foodie. Love the good stuff. Know where to find it. If you're going to be picky with your diet anywhere, this is the place. Feed yourself on the good stuff. Where do you find the good stuff? Well, first of all, and most obvious, is you find it from the Lord. Directly from the Lord. The most direct source, if I dare say farm to table, the most direct source is the fact that God has spoken in His Word, and we need to be in His Word. That's the first place we find our feast. Second, in a sound church. And I have to qualify, I have to say, a sound church. Because while there are a lot of churches that offer up a lot of stuff on pretty fine-looking plates, they don't all preach the truth. They don't all have the voice of truth. You need the quality, the true Word of God. You need to take advantage of preaching and teaching in your church and the other things that this church provides for you to feed your souls. You don't know what a privilege it is for me to be able to serve up these delicacies for you. And our teachers have that privilege to be in that household, so to speak, and doing work for the Queen Wisdom, better yet, doing work for Jesus Christ and serving to you the feast of God's Word in preaching and teaching. And take advantage of it and feast upon it. Third is take advantage of the wisdom of godly parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Godly parents are of great value. Honestly, we really do know what we're talking about sometimes. We have some years on our kids, and if we're godly parents, we also have some spiritual understanding in our minds. You might be smarter than us. That doesn't mean you're wiser than we are. Take advantage of the wisdom of your parents. That will teach you spiritual things, teach you how to interact with other people, interpersonal things, practical things. I have a friend in this church who often quotes his father, and I think what a wise man his father is. That his adult son continually goes back and refers to his father, what his father told him, what his father used to say. My father always taught me this. What a wonderful thing to have a godly father, a godly mother. Devout acquaintances, good and godly friends. It's amazing to me how in conversations with good and godly friends, and you're seeking some insight and you're seeking some help, that your average friend who's in the Lord can speak wisdom beyond their own ability, beyond their own minds, and that is because the Holy Spirit is working. And you're getting that interaction, you're getting that spiritual interaction, that refining, that spiritual strength from one another. Take advantage of that. And finally, reliable resources. Man, we are so privileged, so blessed. Books dripping with wisdom. Conferences where wisdom of God is spoken. Video series, whatever it is, you have so many resources to feed your souls. That's for you, but now I have to speak about the other side for a moment of bringing. Because there is a warning, isn't there? Right in our proverb, there's a warning. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. There's always risk involved in sharing the gospel. And again, it's so hard and frustrating when people won't hear the gospel. But we can't do so with a harsh voice. We can't share the gospel by badgering people. We can't try to instruct someone in a condescending way. It's so hard and frustrating when people don't listen. Again, because we know that if they don't listen to the word of God, it's to their own demise. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. It's particularly heartbreaking when our covenant children, whether they're children or teenagers or adults, reject this very kind of wisdom, this very beautiful feast that was set out before them. Isn't it heartbreaking? When we know somebody who used to sit under the Word of God, somebody who used to go to Sunday school, and now they're nowhere to be found. They've stopped listening to their parents. Maybe sometimes because we've badgered them, maybe because we've approached it the wrong way. They've stopped listening to their parents. Maybe some showed signs early that they were going to rebel. Whatever the case is, they've just stopped listening. They've distanced themselves from Christian friends, and they've started to hang around with fools and made fools their companions. They've lost interest. There are broken-hearted parents, broken-hearted grandparents. There are broken-hearted children because their parents have rejected the gospel. Broken-hearted over friends. We want them to know so bad the wisdom that will save their souls and will be a guide for life for them. But we can't badger them. It's not going to help. But prayer does help. And we have to realize that we may not be the ones that they'll listen to. It's hard, isn't it, for parents to realize that your children may not be the ones that listen to you. But that's okay. We're not the Savior. It's okay that they hear from someone else, and we pray that way, don't we? And when we pray for covenant children, especially, and I take that to be some of this, because these who are rejecting this wisdom are right there within hearing. It's not as if they haven't heard. But we can pray, can't we, that the words that they've heard from the Lord, the gospel that they've heard from the Lord, would begin to stir up in their hearts and resonate, that they would begin to long for the household of God, that they would begin to ache and pain in their hearts, in their souls, because they're hungry, because they're trying to feed themselves on the things of this world, and they've discovered that they can't satisfy their souls with the food of pigs, and they're not even allowed to have that anymore. And they're thirsting because they have nothing to satisfy their dry souls. We need to pray that they would feel that hunger and feel that thirst and seek to be back in the Father's house, back in the church, the household of God. And that someone would come their way, maybe a parent figure, maybe a friend, maybe even a stranger, who would remind them the good things of God. We can pray that way, can't we? See, there is a real warning, isn't there, for those who plug their ears. But we can pray, can't we, that the Lord would finally, by his mercies, stop them in their tracks in front of the household of wisdom. They would feel their hunger, feel their thirst, hear this offer of satisfaction for their dying souls, that they would see the beauty of it, that they would melt at the grace offered, that they would come inside and feast for life, that they might have life, that they would listen to the voice of truth, the voice of wisdom. Well, God has had mercy on us, because we would have been walking by with our ears plugged, eating all kinds of garbage, destroying our souls. But he had mercy on us. And we stopped. And we heard the call of the gospel. And it was Jesus saying, come and eat and be satisfied. Come and drink and have your thirst quenched. We heard that. It's his mercy, his Holy Spirit. And we all want to praise the Lord for that tonight. We know that he is still at work, and there's people that we need to pray for and interact with and let them know there's a sweetness to the gospel. They're in great danger, but there's a sweetness in the gospel that can satisfy the soul and bring peace now and forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you didn't let us keep walking on the fool's path of destruction. but you got our attention. We heard the voice of truth. We heard the voice of Jesus. You unstopped our ears. You have mercy on us. We praise you for that tonight. And Lord, we know that there are many from within the church and those who were in the church and left the church, and many, many outside of the church who need to hear the voice of truth. We know that only the power of your Holy Spirit can unstop ears. We know that the power of your Holy Spirit can stir up desperate hunger in lost souls, to stir up a desperate thirst in souls. Lord, that's what we pray. Not out of meanness, but out of the kindness of you. We're compelled by love that many would hear the gospel. We pray especially for covenant children who have walked away from you. We plead for their souls tonight that you would bring them home. Have mercy, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.